advertising. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer expires 6/30/17.
3 minutes past the hour at 3 o'clock, Monday edition of the Gym Class, coming your way right here on KGYM. Mike Kolas, the sports columnist for the Cedar Rapids Gazette, will be joining us. We'll talk about the U.S. Open. He was up there at Erin Hills over the weekend. We will talk with that about, we'll talk with Mike about that coming up. Also, we'll take a look at the weekend that was in the world of sports. Your chance to win a great golf package as well today and throughout the week. It's all coming up next here on KGYM. And from the southwest side of Cedar Rapids on a beautiful Monday, it is the Gym Class coming your way right here on KGYM, 1600 AM, the historic main gym, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and in Iowa City, it is the South Gym at 106.3 FM. Thank you very much for joining us here. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, Kyle Mann, our producer. Thanks to Kyle for sitting in Thursday and Friday for yours truly. The ship, everything sailed along very smoothly. The waters were very calm, I was told, on Thursday and Friday, Mark.
We had a couple ripples, but we were okay.
Hey, a ripple's not too bad. Ask Joe Buck. We'll get to that coming up here on the program as well. Mike Kolas will be joining us, and we will talk with Mike from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. We'll do that here in just a little bit. Cedar Rapids Colonels, they are in the playoffs. Congratulations to Tommy Watkins and Cedar Rapids. First time that the Cedar Rapids Ball Club has made five consecutive postseasons. I was a little bit surprised by that statistic, but maybe I shouldn't be surprised by that statistic. And congratulations to all the players and the staff and everybody over at Vet Stadium today.
Yeah, it was kind of a tense weekend in a battle with Quad Cities. And Kane County wrapped up the championship on Friday, I believe. But then a steal of home got the Colonels a victory on Saturday and then a blowout on Sunday to narrowly knock out Quad Cities by a game. So, yeah, I think it's a testimony to not only the Twins organization, but the managerial job that Jake Maurer and Tommy Watkins have done over those 5 years.
And it was interesting that I was tuned into the Twins pregame show on Sunday. That was talked about quite a bit, the straight steal of home on the pregame show. Everyone seemed to be pretty much in awe of it throughout the Twins organization as Brad Stile was talking about it, and he was asked, did Tommy call that, or did...
In retrospect, of course he did.
Yes, exactly. It worked. So that was my idea, man. But congratulations to the Colonels and to Tommy Watkins as well. And he'll join the Todd Brommel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn for Tuesdays with Tommy.
Indeed.
Coming up tomorrow. On the program here today, we have your opportunity to pick up a great prize from the City of Cedar Rapids Golf Department. As all this week, including today, we're going to be giving out two 18-hole rounds of golf plus two sleeves of golf balls to the City of Cedar Rapids Golf Department golf courses. And that, of course, would be Ellis, Jones, Gardner, or Twin Pines, your choice. And we will be giving that coming up a little bit later on. Probably everybody has a little bit more of the bug, perhaps, after watching the festivities over the weekend.
You were there. What did you think?
I was there. And first of all, I thought it was a terrific tournament, a very well-run tournament. And
you just went to Friday's round,
went
right?
Went to Friday, okay. Yep. Went to the second round on Friday, and a little bit of wind, very muggy up there, a little bit muggier than they're used to in the great state of Wisconsin. And I thought it was a well-oiled machine from getting you there. And there were a lot of Iowans up there, a lot of Eastern Iowans up there. Four or five people I knew on the grounds. Never saw them because it is just a massive plot of land. And you really have to walk from place to place. And weren't the greatest sight lines as far as a golf course is concerned, but you're going to find that in the modern courses, I think, more and more. I'll look I'll look by that a little bit. But I thought the USGA put on a very good show. They had it down to a T. You actually had to park, and Mike will talk about this as well, I'm sure, coming up. You parked 30 minutes away, and they took you on tour buses. And I was thinking, oh, great, standing in line for an hour or so.
Mm-hmm.
But they were lined up. They were lined up just like people buying brat and beer at a Wisconsin game. So you didn't. We were there 5 minutes, going up, coming back. Both worked out perfectly. Course was outstanding. I thought that if just to be play devil's advocate, I like I was telling you, Mark, beforehand, I thought that the fairways probably were a little too wide for a U.S. Open course. I think it will come back. I think it will come back maybe in 15 years or so to Erin Hills. They'll make it a little narrower. Plus, I think that they will probably, I'm not sure they'd play it at a par 72 again, maybe at a 71. If they had the optimum conditions that they were looking for, if it was going to be hard and fast with wind and no rain, it rained three times from Wednesday through Sunday. And that's basically what made it so soft.
But no stoppage of play.
No stoppages of play, which was a good thing. If they had those conditions, I think with the four par fives they were playing, 16 of them, I think you probably would have seen seven or eight under win. So the winning score, what, 16?
16, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Under by Brooks Koepka. Mm. And I think that... I think he would have won it either way, but I think that probably 7, 8, 9 right in there would have won it if they had the conditions they were looking for.
16 in the U.S. Open, your automatic reaction is that it was too easy. Well, ask Jason Day if it was too easy. He was out after two rounds at plus 10.
Yep. Still looking for his golf ball in some places.
Yeah, and there were a lot of players under par. I thought overall for the tournament, Koepka wins by 4. I thought there'd be a lot more drama on Sunday, but Koepka took care of that.
He won it. He took it by the throat.
It just wasn't the marquee players aside from maybe Ricky Fowler. Koepka's, you know, pretty high profile. But Ricky Fowler, you know, there was no Rory McIlroy, no Jason Day, no Dustin Johnson. Sergio Garcia didn't really contend. So it was a bunch of guys like Brian Harman and Tommy Fleetwood that nationally, that doesn't really capture imagination. But I thought it was a pretty good tournament overall, but not a great one.
It was probably out of a scale 1 to 10, 10 being the best, 1 being the worst. I would probably say 6.5, 7.
Yeah, I agree.
Just because it was, like you said, Brooks Koepka is a good golfer. People that follow golf know Brooks Koepka. He's Dustin Johnson light. Am I right on that? A lot of similarities with Dustin Johnson. Same, he is a big guy, one of the biggest out there.
Reminds me of combination of DJ and Gary Woodland. Maybe.
That's very good analogy right there. But he's one of those that has his personal trainer, lifts weights every morning like Dustin Johnson does.
Got a different girlfriend every other week.
Apparently, we'll get to that coming up. But he is in that fold. He can bomb it. I mean, he can hit it 3 miles. And Dustin Johnson can hit it 3 miles. Problem was on the green, starting to get that in shape a little bit. Only difference is the fact that Dustin Johnson came up through the PGA Tour. Brooks Koepka came up through the European Tour. He took a different route. You don't see many Americans do that. But, I mean, he was playing in... Germany, Kazakhstan, places like that.
Czech Republic, yep.
Which was pretty amazing. 27-year-old out of Florida and Florida State. So I thought a very good winner. By the way, Brian Harmon's 5'7", I'm 6'4".
Not very big, is he?
Brian Harmon is about 5'5", but he is a bulldog.
Mm-hmm.
And Tommy Fleetwood's not very big either. But boy, they can all sock it a mile. And that course, it was just amazing what they can do.
Did you make it into the town of Erin?
There really is no town of Erin. No, because
there is no town.
it's kind of an unincorporated area is Aaron.
Nobody lives in Aaron?
Well, there's some houses around there. Nice houses.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the middle of nowhere. There's a couple towns. Hartford's like 8 miles to the north, which is about 4,000 people or so. And then there's a couple smaller towns south of it and to the west of it a little bit. But it's an unincorporated area they call Aaron.
Mm.
And so that's where it's at. And driving up there, you could, going through the Wisconsin countryside, you could see the cranes. As you were getting closer and closer, and that's how you knew the golf course was there.
But like seeing the lights of Las Vegas from a distance.
Yeah.
Huh?
No. What do you think if you were up there? And I know there are a lot of Eastern Iowans up there. 319-366-1600 on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line or the phone line.
5375. I was there Friday as well. Completely agree with you. Beautiful property. Hard to view.
It was hard to view, and I know there was some grumbling about that, but you're going to find that with the modern courses, I think. This course is only 11 years old, and you had to stake your claim to a spot if you wanted to see people come through, or because it was really hard to follow, because you couldn't... I'll use the John Deere Classic as an example. You can pretty much go from one side of the fairway to the other side of the fairway with a crosswalk.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't do that on a lot of the holes at Aaron Hills. You were restricted to one side, and you just couldn't go to the other side.
Yeah, the John Deere, there's places that are hard to walk, but
exactly.
I think when I've been there, I've pretty much stuck between 15 and 18. Easily walking distance, you can watch four holes, and you can cross over, go through the clubhouse, and go over to 9 and 10, perhaps, but... apparently that wasn't the case at Aaron Hills, and maybe that's something they need to address in the future.
Yeah, I think they will a little bit. I really think you're going to see another U.S. Open there. They've got them plotted out, I think, through 2027 or something like that. So I'm thinking probably 28, 29, or 30 you're going to see the Open back in Wisconsin.
Zach Johnson making the cut and then coming up with a brilliant 68 on Saturday. We're going to talk to Mike Haloss about that round. He wrote about it in Sunday's Gazette, then 74 on Sunday. So a finish inside the top 30, not bad, not great, but it was good to see him playing on the weekend.
By the way, they had several bars within the area. Mike wrote about the Tally Ho Bar that was to the north. There was one to the south and to the west.
They must have had record days.
I can't. Well, they didn't because you couldn't drive up there. Even the media, I believe, couldn't drive up there.
Oh.
So that's your problem with that. I mean, they missed out on all that extra business right there. It's interesting. It's a course you cannot take a cart. You must walk if you play Aaron Hills. Tavern, I'm sorry. Yes, Todd, taverns. Mm. They're not bars. They're taverns in this great state of Wisconsin. But you have to walk the course. It's $280, plus you have to have a caddy, so add another $100-plus at least onto that. By the time you get to 14, 15, I'm thinking you're going to have very little stamina left because it is a long course to walk, and I can't imagine a lot of the golfers that would, find their way on a normal day to Aaron Hills are going to be stopping at the Tally Ho. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I am wrong about this. If you stopped at the Tally Ho, let us know at 319-366-1600. Love to hear from you out there. But it was a great time. Great time. Always good to go to U.S. Open. My second one. I was at Olympia Fields in 2003. Might be a while before it gets back here, too.
Yeah, it's first time in a number of years it's been played in the Midwest, right?
Since 2003.
Yeah.
Since 2003. PGA will probably come back to Whistling Straits before that because they've got some sort of a working agreement between the PGA and Whistling Straits up there. So there you go. There's my report, Mark.
So, watering holes in Wisconsin are taverns?
Apparently. Not bars.
Where are the bars and where are the pubs?
pub, tavern. We visited.
Depends on if Old Milwaukee served or Schlitz or what.
And we should bring in Mark Morehouse because he's the beer guy for this, and he's a Wisconsin native, so he's got two of the check marks covered there. But, you know, used to be all the Milwaukee breweries would have their beer around there, and they still do, but now you've got a lot of the local, they got a ton of local breweries in Wisconsin. And now they've kind of moved in a little bit on the big guys in there. So you'll find those at the taverns and the pubs. At least I found that on Thursday night. There were a few.
There's some action in the NBA. If you haven't heard, the Boston Celtics have dealt their number one pick to Philadelphia for Philadelphia's number three pick in this year's draft and a future first rounder. That's the subject of our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com. How would you grade the weekend's NBA trade news? Boston won the deal. Philly won the deal. Or it was a win-win for both teams. Thanks to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
I'm for Boston as a win on that one. And we're going to have the NBA draft for you coming up on Thursday night of this week and all three of our frequencies beginning at 7 o'clock, just to let you know on that. You can check out all of the upcoming sports activities that we have, and you can do that online at KGYMRadio.com.
So the Celtics get Josh Jackson instead of Markelle Fultz.
Sounds that
way. Not a bad trade-off, plus the number one pick in the future, and Celtics stockpiling draft picks. So it might even be a win-win situation, depending on how Fultz pans out.
I would agree with that. Ever since we went on the air, now we've got some rain that is developing to our north and east, moving down I-380 toward us here. So I'm sorry about that. I jinxed the weather a little bit. At 20 past the hour of 3 o'clock. U.S. Open was the biggie over the weekend. No doubt about that, as it kind of took the headlines a little bit. The NBA was there a little bit with getting ready for the draft and whatnot. We saw changing in the guard in the AL Central a little bit. The Twins.
A little bit?
Well, I wanted to make you feel good, Mark. Cleveland is back on top as they rolled into Minnesota. Into Minneapolis over the weekend and did a lot of damage.
I think it was just a matter of time because the Cleveland Indians, I think, are that good. They've got a terrific bullpen and they got good starting pitching in this series. The Twins had to go with three rookies and Kyle Gibson, who has really been up and down this year. So, once again, the Twins pitching, I think, really disappointing. You hate to lose any at home, but to be swept is a stinger. And now Twins stay at home and open a series against the White Sox, who aren't playing bad baseball. The White Sox on Tuesday, we'll have that for you here on KGYM.
Yeah, Tuesday and Wednesday night from Target Field on 107.5 FM. 3:22 here on the program, and we're going to talk to Mike Halas. We're going to do that when we come back here on the Monday edition of the show.
Helper on the text line 1314. The PGA Championship is in St. Louis next year, so another close major championship. That'll be the Belle Reve Country Club.
Belle Reve.
Yeah.
Very good. May have to look into that. See what happens. Love seeing the majors out there. I will say this. A couple things. First of all, you mentioned Joe Buck. Joe Buck makes Dan Hicks look like he knows something about golf broadcasting. No. And everybody else on Fox, I'm a big fan of. Brad Faxon, Paul Azinger, I think they do a really good job. Strange in the course, Curtis Strange, really good. Ken Brown, when you can hear him, he needs to speak into his microphone and enunciate.
Holly Saunders in the studio.
They didn't show Holly as much this year.
No.
The Englishman, and they didn't have him on at all during the major part of the broadcast.
Darren Clark?
What's that?
Darren Clark?
Not Darren, but the regular, the play-by-play man. Yeah. And I can't recall his name, but he's really good. Bring him in. less of Joe Buck on the golf course, please. And that has nothing to, even before he said the wrong name for the girlfriend.
Well, what I want to know is how Azinger knew that Koepka had a new girlfriend.
That was Faxon.
I mean, was it Faxon? I'm sorry. I mean, he was on top of things.
Yeah, I
really think Buck got handed some bad information.
Yeah, he didn't have a
clue. Week-old information.
Exactly. He didn't have a clue who it was, and he was just reading something. So somebody got it wrong, and Joe Buck looks bad doing it. But like I said, he's not a great play-by-play guy for golf. I'm just going to say that.
No, I don't think so either.
I'm gonna go out on a limb saying that, perhaps, but that's just my personal opinion on it for Joe. And I had another point, and I will remember it sometime when we're talking to Mike Colas. So there you go.
It'll be appropriate then.
It will be. It will be very appropriate at that time. By the way, Zach did well Saturday with that 68. But then everybody else shot 66. For a while there, it looked like the Bob Hope Desert Classic for a moment. I saw somebody tweet that out.
We've got our friend Todd Brommelkamp, and I'm going to share this on Twitter.
Taverns and pubs?
The Tavern League of Wisconsin. Listeners to the Gym Class can learn all about it. Again, I'll retweet Todd's post.
I'll do that, too.
It's a nonprofit trade association dedicated to serving the needs of the retail beverage alcohol segment of the hospitality industry.
Something like I think Mr. Morehouse is a member of that. We'll ask Mark next time we talk with him.
Count on Todd.
There you go. All right, 3:25. We're going to take a break, come back. Mike Colas will join us on the other side, and we'll get his thoughts on the United States Open and if he visited any taverns up in Wisconsin as well. We'll do that when we come back here on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Your business's computing needs are a lot like a symphony orchestra. Each instrument on its own doesn't seem like much, but when the wireless isn't talking with a tablet and that isn't in tune with the desktop, it's a mess. Network Computer Solutions is in the business of putting it all together in perfect harmony. Network Computer Solutions creates, fixes, and otherwise improves your company's networking computers, and that tunes up your profits. Call 247-7223. 247-7223. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Hey, Dave, why is the other Dave chopping down a tree out front?
Well, Mr. Employee of the Month, you said you needed some sets.
I said I needed that report ASAP, as in right away.
Oh! So what does that have to do with the tree?
Oh, boy.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
When you run a growing business, you wear a lot of hats. The I ordered it hat, the Mr. Fix-It hat, the it's taken care of because I handled it yesterday hat. My favorite hat? My I received an order from Granger hat. I look my best in that one. Granger's got the products I need and gets me them when I need them, no matter what hat I'm wearing that day. You know what? I love Granger. You know why? Because Granger's got my back. Call clickgranger.com or stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Napa know-how.
Why should you grab Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil for $5.59 a quart at Napa? Two words, road trip. To see the biggest ball of twine or a crater shaped like Abe Lincoln. Because if your ride isn't running strong, all you're going to see is the side of the road. Valvoline Synthetic Oil, just $5.59 a quart. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer expires 6/30/17.
Covering everything from the preps to the pros, with a little bit of old school mentality thrown in for good measure. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class. KGYM.
Back at 3:28 here on the Jim Class Monday edition here on KGYM. Coming up a little bit later on, it'll be the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That takes you from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock here this evening. We also have that giveaway before 4 o'clock with the City of Cedar Rapids Golf Department. And your chance to pick up 2 18-hole rounds of golf and 2 sleeves of golf balls at one of the 4 Cedar Rapids City golf courses. We'll give you that opportunity to win that before 4 o'clock. Some rain moving into Lynn County from the northeast, pretty much down I-380 right now. No watches or warnings at this time, and some pop-up showers we're experiencing pretty much around eastern Iowa right now. So keep that in mind if you have any evening outdoor activities. Set to talk with Mike Halas from Cedar Rapids Gazette. You can read his columns at thegazette.com. You can also follow him on Twitter at Halas, H-L-A-S. We encourage you to do so. And he joins us on Mondays, every other Monday throughout the spring and summer. And once we get closer to football, he'll join us every Monday right here on KGYM. Mike, good afternoon. And how was your sojourn up to the Dairy State over the weekend?
It was fine.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's anything that's going to go into my memory bank as something that stands out, but it was a nice few days.
Did you stop at the Tally Ho Tavern?
No.
I was trying to relate to the listeners that, you know, because Mark asked, well, those people did great business. And I said, no, they didn't, because you couldn't park anywhere around Erin Hills. You had to be bussed in.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of a myth about a lot of things, that when places get big events, they think it's going to be a real boon for nearby businesses, and it often isn't. It's sometimes quite the opposite.
One of the reasons you went there, Mike, I know, is to follow Zach Johnson. You were rewarded with his fine round on Saturday. What did you see out of him over the weekend?
Well, he plays well. He said it was the best he's played all year, and so I think that statement pretty much speaks for itself. Thing is, a lot of guys played well at that tournament. It was a very uncharacteristic U.S. Open. So how you'd measure his 68 there as opposed to a 69 last year, for instance, I don't know. But, you know, you shoot a 68 on a par 72 in the U.S. Open, that's a good round. And it was a very good round.
And then everyone else shot about 68 throughout the day.
Well, everybody who survived. I mean, there were superstars who blew up on Thursday and Friday. That was the weirdest part of it. While there was so much birdie making going on, the world's top 3 players fell on the face.
What'd you think up there of the setup? You've been to U.S. Opens before covering Zach Johnson. I thought it was a very fair setup. I think when they go back, and I think they will go back probably in about 15, 20 years or so, probably move the fairway. I thought they were a little bit too wide.
Yeah.
And maybe go to a par 71, but it was a very fair golf course.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. When I watch the U.S. Open on TV, I want to see it diabolical. That's, you know, it's the hardest tournament of the whole year, and to me, I like to see it one time a year, see something like that. But in person, I want to see players have chances to make birdies, and there certainly was that, you know. I mean, you're right about those fairways. I couldn't believe how wide they were. You had players complaining about fescue getting mowed in certain spots. They said that if we can't put it on the fairway, we deserve to get punished. Mm-hmm. They were so wide. The greens didn't seem extremely, I mean, they're not easy to navigate, but it didn't seem like they were tricked up or anything. They seemed like they were good greens. But the course as a whole didn't do much for me. No trees, no water.
Yeah.
You could tell the place is new. I suppose it's like Hazeltine in the Twin Cities used to be. When they first opened that, it got criticized and they had a U.S. Open there. They came back and had majors there 25 years later, and it's like, what a great place this is.
Yeah,
maybe that'll be that Erin Hills someday.
I don't know that I agree with Scott on the fact that it will return, because it just doesn't seem that it was very fan-friendly.
Well, it wasn't. It wasn't. I mean, I walked 45 holes, and I felt it because it's just up and down straw or, you know, grass. And there weren't a lot of great vantage points.
Yeah.
Just from the parking lot to the golf course was, you know, you needed GPS, it seemed like. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm not condemning it. I thought it was very pretty, but it's out in the middle of what once was farmland. It's not like it was, you know, I'd rather go to one of the more classic places, I guess, with trees.
Mm-hmm. It was, yeah, you mentioned the fact, the one thing that got the most complaints, what I read from people, even a texter here that was there on Friday from Eastern Iowa, and there were a bunch of people there from Eastern Iowa, was sight lines were tough. And I think you're going to find that on modern golf courses, but it was not, for example, it wasn't like the deer when you can be within 20 feet of somebody. I mean, if you were, there were some places where if you were 75 feet away from a golfer, that was probably as close as you were going to get.
There were a lot of places where you couldn't see where the tee shots landed, unless you were really lucky.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, so, okay, who cares? I mean, people watch it on TV. It's only a select few who go in person. You don't miss a thing on TV. But I watched yesterday, or I had it on yesterday. I can't say I watched intently. I thought it was deadly dull. The telecast, the atmosphere, and the fact that really there wasn't anything gripping to me or charismatic about the players.
Brian Harman is not 5'7", by the way. Maybe 5'5", but man, he can play golf, though. All those guys can hit it so far. I mean, they just make golf look so easy.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, they've made such a big deal about the thing was, what is 7,800 yards?
Yeah, it didn't play that long, though.
So what?
Yeah.
The final hole was 667, and you had guys getting on in two.
What's this you getting credit from Zach Johnson?
Well, that was much ado about nothing. Saturday, he shoots a 68, and so he got about six or eight reporters coming up to him afterward. And just as a joking aside, he said that the reason he was motivated to play well is because the Cedar Rapids Gazette came up and, you know, followed him even though he was in the second group in the morning, meaning, you know, I had to get up at some extreme hour to do that. Well, there was just, so it got a laugh from the other guys, and he was obviously being facetious, but the truth was that I did get there in about 9 o'clock in the morning, but I didn't go out onto the golf course until he was close to where I could pick him up that day at the ninth hole. And he made a birdie putt at nine, and it's like, okay, I'll see how the rest of this goes. It wasn't like I woke up in, you know, at 4:30 in the morning to make that, whatever it was, 40-mile drive from the Milwaukee suburbs to, you know, follow him around. But it was just a little joke, and the Chicago Tribune writer there picked up on it, and it was in the transcripts, and I had guys in the media center teasing me about it.
Dan Jenkins wasn't doing that, was he?
No. But you know what? I'll tell you what, Zach, I wish I had a dollar for every time he's told me he's appreciated the coverage, which always strikes me as kind of odd. I mean, see, not odd. Actually, it's gratifying.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not used to that, for one thing. And secondly, he likes to see his hometown people up there. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, have JR put that in your file, will you?
I might have pointed that out to him already.
July 10th is Zach's Foundation Classic. And Scott and I were talking beforehand. I don't think any of the pros have been announced, have they?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
They're, you know, it'll be like usual. They'll announce a bunch and a couple of flurries, and There'll be big names in there. There always are.
Mm-hmm. Thursday, the
end. Beast in the last 3 years, which is kind of amazing. I think Fowler's been there twice, hasn't
mm-hmm.
he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, he was there last year. So was Mr. Daly, but I don't think that'll happen
yeah.
again.
Yeah. You know, and if we've talked about this before, I apologize, but don't you wish Cedar Rapids had one John Daly? You know, just one. I mean, the guys that represent Cedar Rapids on the national stage are usually seen cut from a certain cloth.
Mm-hmm.
How about if we have one renegade who makes it big nationally and just embarrasses us like crazy every week?
I hadn't thought about that.
I haven't either.
You wouldn't have to do a lot of deep digging on Monday for what you're going to talk about. It would be, what did so-and-so do yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Our neighboring states have several.
I know. What is the deal here?
We're very prim and proper, apparently, in good old eastern Iowa, I guess.
I guess. There's probably somebody out there saying, why is he complaining about this? Well, I'm kind of joking, but I am joking, all right? I don't need to spend half my time going through police reports or TMZ or that stuff.
Hey, Mike, Thursday the NBA draft comes up, and the focus for us in Iowa, Amonte Morris and Peter Jock.
Did see one mock draft with Jeremy Morgan in it.
Jeremy Morgan, yes. I did too. But not many mentioned Peter Jock. So your level of interest there, Mike?
Well, it's kind of interesting. It was interesting last year, I thought. You would have said which player from this state would get drafted, and I think everybody would have said Jared Utoff. Well, George Niang got drafted. Abdel Nader got drafted. Utoff didn't. So that was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then how it all played out was, too, Utoff ending up in the NBA by the time the season was over and looking like he's got a future in that league. I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen. You see Morris in most mock drafts second round, but the second round is a pretty fickle thing. If he goes, you know, players that go high in the second round, usually teams have intentions for them because they're teams that didn't finish very high in the standings usually, and they are teams with needs. But then once you get down into the second half of the second round, it's kind of erratic. So I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen. Somebody else I'm interested in is Deontay Burton of Iowa State. I saw him play in person a lot of times, and you can't tell me he doesn't have NBA skill.
Mm-hmm.
So Sports Illustrated had a really interesting story on him a couple of days ago. I'd recommend that to people.
Yeah, he's...
Who knows? Who knows? And, you know, what if Jock could be the same thing as Utoff. If Jock doesn't get drafted, and probably won't, that doesn't mean he's not going to play in the league.
Very much so. Very much so.
And go ahead.
Well, I was going to say about Deontay Burton. He's one of those guys that's very interesting because he's kind of a tweener. He's got guard skills for a big guy, but he's kind of a bigger guy, but is not really a post-up player or anything like that. He can just do a variety of things, which makes him very intriguing.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. They said kind of the same things about Niang last year. They're different players, but a lot of different skills. And the NBA's kind of changed in terms of, I mean, Draymond Green sort of re-revolutionized basketball. You can't really assign a position to him, but you can't deny he can play. And I'm not calling Deontay Burton the next Draymond Green, but Burton can jump. He can shoot three-pointers. He blocks shots. I don't know if he can defend well enough to play in that league, but I bet you that he gives it a really good run.
In the last 30 years, Mike, did you truthfully know what was at the midfield at Kinnick Stadium?
No.
I don't think most people did.
No. If you told me there had been a block eye there for the last 30 years, I would have thought, that doesn't seem right, but that might be right.
Yeah, yeah.
And there wasn't.
Well, now the next great push will be to put something, and it's already started, on the water tower to the north of Kinnick Stadium and slightly to the east.
Yeah, water tower. I never get tired of hearing about that. You know, that's like, if we can just get that water tower deal situated, you know, get a tiger hawk on that thing and paint it black or whatever, I think all our problems will be over.
Hey, speaking of Iowa and you and I, Primetime League had their first night last night. And is it kind of, I think it serves a purpose, the Primetime League. But interesting that they went down one team. Doesn't seem to be as much support for it among the players as there used to be anyway. I don't know. Is this thing, has it run its course? Or, I don't know, your thoughts about that? Because we do get to see, if fans want to go out there, the two newcomers. They were going against each other yesterday, so I guess that is a plus. But it doesn't seem to be quite as popular as it once was.
I couldn't tell you why. They postponed the draft because they had to get enough players to participate. It's not, you know, Iowa and Northern Iowa have their entire teams in the thing, basically, except for injured players. But it's where the other guys are coming from. They're really scraping for those other guys, and I have no idea why. I don't know why that's changed. You know, it's players every place play in the summer. It's just a question of where. So you might as well keep it close to home. Can you learn anything from it? Yeah, I think you can. I think last year everybody had heard of Tyler Cook, but then when they saw him in the summer, they said, oh, yeah, that's a player. And that's what they like to find out about the freshman and the two guys, Nunge. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Nungi, I think.
Nungi, okay.
I'm not positive.
Right, Steve, that's part of the summer learning. And Garz is the other one, and they're both big guys. Kind of an element that Iowa really hasn't had under McCaffrey, the true centers, for the most part. And apparently, I couldn't go yesterday, but it sounds like that they're both for real. So I look forward to seeing them once this summer, and then maybe 20 times in the winter.
Before we let you go, Mike, I want to come full circle on something and talk to you briefly about a column you did since we last talked, and that was on Bob Parsons, Zach Johnson, pretty well known now that he plays the Parsons clubs, the PXGs. Excellent column, but that guy's a different bird, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think it was, who was it? Was it F. Scott Fitzgerald who said, the rich are different than you and me? And to which somebody once said, yeah, they have more money. But this guy's a billionaire who made his bones in Cedar Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
He now lives in Scottsdale, Arizona, but, I mean, he didn't become a man of wealth and means until he created Parsons Technology in Cedar Rapids, and then he sold that, and then he came up with GoDaddy, and that's what, you know, has put him over the moon. And he decided he wanted to make golf clubs because he's absolutely insane about golf. And it wasn't just a whim. His goal was to have the best golf clubs in the world. And I don't know enough about golf clubs to know if they are, but Zach Johnson and a handful of PGA Tour pros think they are the best golf clubs in the world, and they're using them. And it's pretty interesting that in an industry that's pretty flat, Nike got out of making golf clubs a couple of years ago, that this new company has gotten into it full bore, and I don't know, I think they're getting like $5,000 for a set of clubs. They're not for everybody.
No.
You know? Or in my circles, anybody. But there are people out there who will pay $5,000 for a set of golf clubs, and apparently this thing's doing pretty well.
No, you just don't pick up the phone and call Bob Parsons. How'd this thing transpire?
Actually, I shot an email.
Mm-hmm.
It was something I wanted to do since Johnson hooked up with him a year and a half ago, but I sort of hadn't gotten around to it. And let's let this breathe and see how these golfers who are using these clubs on tour do for first. And a few of his guys have won this year.
Yeah.
Pat Perez and Billy Horschel and somebody else, I forget. And so I just, you know, sent his representative an email saying I'd like to do an interview with him. And, you know, maybe 9 times out of 10 you get shot down. But they got right back to me and said that he'll do it. And so, you know, we talked for about 20 minutes a few weeks ago. And had a lot of laughs. He's one of these guys who comes straight at you. There's no hemming or hawing. He's a point blank kind of guy. And, you know, if you give it back a little bit, he likes that too. And, in fact, he invited me down to his place in Scottsdale to drink whiskey with him. And I really think I ought to take advantage of that.
I think so, too. You should. And maybe bring some friends.
Well, I asked Johnson's agent about him, long story short, his agent said, yeah, I've drank whiskey with him in Scottsdale. That's kind of his thing.
He remembers it, so that's good.
Yeah. But it's not just golf. I mean, the guy loves Harley Davidsons, so he's got the biggest Harley Davidson dealership in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he likes golf, so what does he do? Does he buy a membership at the best country club in the Phoenix area? No, he buys it. And he changes it the way he wants to change it and kicks out people he doesn't want there, you know?
Very true. Very true.
Rich are different than you and me.
All right. Mike, appreciate your time as always. And we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks here. And again, you can read everything that Mike's got at thegazette.com. And also, he'll put it on Twitter as well at Halas. And Mike.
Will that be before or after the 4th of July?
What is today? Actually, July 3rd, if you're around.
Oh, okay, because I usually observe the 4th.
Okay, we do too. So
that's on a
Tuesday. I think we're safe on a Monday the 3rd, though. So we'll all look forward to that.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
All right.
Mike Halas at 3:50 joining us here on the Gym Class. Joins us every other Monday throughout the spring and the summer. 3:50, and we're going to step aside, take a break. As we head to break, going to give you an opportunity right now to pick up from the City of Cedar Rapids Golf Department 2 18-hole rounds of golf and 2 sleeves of golf balls. We got it all this week, courtesy of the Cedar Rapids Golf Department. Rounds either at Gardner, Ellis, Twin Pines, or Jones this summer. Hit around a bucket of balls. Ask about the Young Professional Season Pass. You can also reserve your tee times at playcedarrapidsgolf.com. We'll take caller number 6, 319-366-1600, 319-366-1600. And Kyle will get your information. Back with more after this.
Looking for a pre-owned vehicle to help prepare you for the future? All Honda-certified pre-owned vehicles are thoroughly inspected by a Honda-trained technician and backed by an outstanding Honda Limited warranty for up to 7 years or 100,000 miles from the original in-service date. You could say we pre-screen each one, you know, as a precaution. Visit HondaCertified.com and search for local inventory.
See your Honda dealer for limited warranty details.
Introducing the new Lucky Charms Shake at Burger King. It's a mix of hand-spun vanilla-flavored soft serve, tasty bits of Lucky Charms cereal, and memories of watching Saturday morning cartoons in your PJs. The new Lucky Charms Shake at Burger King. Relive your childhood in a cup. Maybe it's the magical marshmallow pieces flying up your straw. Maybe it's the magically delicious taste. Whatever the reason, it's a good reason to head over to a Burger King restaurant and try one now. Only at Burger King. Also, try the Fruit Loop Shake now at Burger King. Shakes available for a limited time only. Participation varies.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. When your battery goes dead, everything can come to a stop. Don't take a chance on getting stranded. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and get your battery tested free of charge. If your battery does need to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact Superstart battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm KFC's Extra Crispy Colonel, and you're the extra busy regular person who has to make dinner for a family of four. But you can shirk that responsibility because my Extra Crispy $20 fill-up from KFC contains 8 pieces of freshly double-breaded extra crispy chicken, 4 biscuits, 2 orders of mashed potatoes, and a side of coleslaw for just $20. That'll feed them. KFC, it's extra crispy good.
Pricing and participation may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
For you, there is no off-season. You're going hard whether you're on the job, heading off to hunt, or tromping through the trails. Red Wing Shoes has the protection and grip to take you anywhere you want to go. Right now, Red Wing brand and Irish Setter shoes and boots are 20% off, so they'll feel even more comfortable on your wallet. Save 20% now on Red Wing brand and Irish Setter shoes and boots. Heritage brand excluded at Red Wing Shoes in the Fountains by Hy-Vee on Edgewood Road, Cedar Rapids.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports like you with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to kgymradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
Because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great. And we want to help get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
At KGYM Radio on Twitter, Dukes and Unash, the gym class on KGYM.
Congrats going out to Chris in North Liberty. He picks up the golf passes from the City of Cedar Rapids Golf Department, and we'll have those throughout the week for you right here on KGYM. A couple things to clean up here. Thanks to Kyle, it's Nunji. We got that, the pronunciation down, and we'll talk PTL coming up on local programming today. Next on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, Tom Kakert. HawkeyeReport.com will be joining them coming up. And they will also have your opportunity to pick up a $30 gift card from La Cantina, one of their 3 locations. They have those throughout the week right here on KGYM. I remember I was going to say, Mark, and it was this, to listening on television Saturday and Sunday, watching the U.S. Open. Being there on Friday, I really believe, you know, you hear all the, you know, mashed potato and all that crap when people are teeing off. I think I heard one guy say something under his breath, not even loud. Maybe I was in the wrong place.
Like get in a hole?
Yeah, none of that. I think Fox puts a guy next to a microphone and puts him out there on the tee. I kind of believe that theory. I did not hear hardly any of that throughout Friday, no matter where I was in the golf course. So maybe I'm going to throw that out there as a conspiracy theory, that that guy or those guys may be plants. Or maybe it's just a Saturday-Sunday thing.
Could very well. I mean, I think we got our own conspiracy theory going on tonight.
We don't want to mention that. We don't want to make people unhappy.
He's going to be unhappy.
Well, are you going to let the kitty out of the bag?
It's bowling night in America on June 19th, for crying out loud. Still trying to figure out how I got roped into this, but
oh, it's going to be a great night. It's going to be a red letter night tonight. It's a special June edition of bowling, bowling night in America.
Never thought I'd say that.
That'll be coming up tonight. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to Cal Elder joining us coming up tomorrow. We'll talk baseball with Cal. Look back on the draft. Look ahead to the second half of the minor league season. His Royals are coming up strong.
Yes, they sure are. Just 2 games under .500.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that and other aspects of Major League Baseball. We'll do that with Cal Eldred coming up on the program. Tom Kakert's going to join Alex and Todd coming up next at the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, and that'll be coming your way from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock here tonight. Hope you enjoyed the program. We'll be back with you coming up tomorrow. And on behalf of Kyle and Mark, I'm Scott Unash saying so long. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow at 3 with another edition of The Gym Class right here on KGYM.
Greeny, it's time to amplify your game with the Summer Savings event.
How do I step it up, Golic?
Well, by getting in on BOGO 50G.